Another day, another commitment. We're going to talk about Quincy from Cincy, why it's a big deal, why this receiver room is getting deep, plus a lot more, and a really interesting topic that Scott brought up. We're going to get into all of that and more on today's Locked On Badgers. Let's go.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome to Locked On Badgers. I'm your host, Ryan Herrings, your team every single day. Appreciate y'all so, so much for joining in, keeping this conversation and the show going. Another commitment. Luke Fickell continues to just roll through this offseason like a freight train. Quincy Burroughs jumps in to the mix, a 6'2", 200-pound receiver. He was a Cincinnati commit in the 2022 class, so he didn't play last year. Originally out of Jacksonville, Florida. This one's interesting because there was a conversation going on one of the Badger forums, people talking about you want a receiver that has a certain speed, a certain size, a certain skill set. And I honestly just want to bring it back to, like, you just need good receivers, right? People get so fixated on, well, this guy runs a 4.6 or this guy's good receivers come in all shapes and sizes. You know, I mentioned that Chris Chambers was a little shorter, but he was explosive. Quintez Cephas was slow for a receiver, but again, he brought a different skill set, right? Alex Erickson was way different than both of those. Jared Aberderis was a route runner. You know, Lee Evans was a burner. You know, so it's all you need. I guess what I'm saying is you need different types of receivers in the receiver room, and there's a lot of ways to succeed in that room, right? So what Quincy Burroughs, and I have this from a pretty good source. I'd say a very good source. He's up to 200 pounds now, and I was told he is all of 200 pounds, Quincy Burroughs. So now he's a 6'2". 200-pound kid that, by the way, runs like a 4.45, right? So he's got unique measurables to bring into the room. And much like Pauling, the other Cincinnati commit that we talked about, here's a guy that was recruited by Luke Fickell and his staff, and they wanted him enough to re-recruit him, right, to bring him back. So this is a guy that's been recruited by Luke Fickell and his staff twice. They've had him in the locker room. They've seen him in practice. That has to give you a really warm fuzzy with these. And I had someone come on the show and say, or someone in the YouTube chat in one of our shows, there's been so many commitment shows, I don't even remember which one it was. But he was saying, Ryan, you're talking like all of these commits are really good gets. And I got to be honest with you, I think they all kind of are. Now, they're not all going to work out either. Like we can like all the commits and then understand that none of them are going to work out. We all like Logan Brown when he committed. It didn't work out. We like Graham Mertz when he committed. It didn't work out. Not all of these transfers Luke Fickell is bringing in are going to hit at the clip that we hope they do. But you can see the reasoning behind each one and get excited for each of them individually. Like every single one makes sense. I did a ranking in my head. I actually wrote it down. I'm not going to share it here. Because I never want to put a ranking out where I have somebody last in terms of transfers coming in. But I ranked all the transfers in my opinion of which is the most impactful, starting with, as you would guess, Tanner Mordecai. But even right when I get to the bottom, I can see roles for every single transfer coming in or future roles potentially, right? And with a kid like Quincy Burroughs, and I'm going to call this show Quincy from Cincy, I didn't come up with that. That came out of the YouTube chat. I don't remember who said that, but I love it. Quincy from Cincy. What he brings is a level of speed and size that we just don't have a ton of, right? How many receivers do we have in the room that, by the way, have, 4 years of eligibility left that are 6'2 and run a 4.4, right? Like, how many of those dudes do we have on the roster? And that's why Quincy's a big deal. And again, if you're going to trust Luke Fickell, you're going to trust his staff, which I think we've all bought in for the most part into who Luke Fickell is, what he's looking for. He knows what he's doing. This is a really smart coach. He had this guy in his locker room. That should get you excited. Same with Pauling. Same with Renfro. The guys that he's brought over, those are players that he feels incredibly confident in using a scholarship at Wisconsin, right? Everything he saw from them at Cincinnati is a selling point, and it's something that he really wanted to bring to Wisconsin with him to help build the new Wisconsin, to enhance the old Wisconsin, however you want to put it. I think it's a big get. I'm excited for it. And again, it's another player. We talked about this too, right? This is where it gets interesting with Luke Fickell in the transfer portal. We've talked about how he doesn't really want to build a roster through transfers, but the majority of his transfers are multi-year guys, right? They all have lots of eligibility left outside of the obvious Tanner Mordecai, and Jason Maitre, the defensive back. Everyone else has eligibility, right? Maybe Pete Charlski, the Michigan State kid. But, you know, Renfrow, Huber, both receivers, Evers, Locke, all these guys have years of eligibility left, which is really exciting. So in a sense, he's building through the portal this cycle, but he's also building for the future so he doesn't have to continue to build through the portal. I think that's an important distinction. These aren't a lot of one-year mercenaries. And I use mercenaries in a loving term, by the way, because I have no issues with players transferring. I've said that before. I like the portal. I like the player freedom. So I have no issues with it. But these aren't one-year rentals. These, for the most part, are guys that are going to be on the roster for years, and he's kind of augmenting the typical recruiting class that way. So let's take a look at the receiving room now, because that's the next logical thing. We just got two commits in the portal, right? The two Cincinnati receivers coming over. Both, again, very different skill sets, which I like. You have to have different tools in the toolbox if you're Phil Longo. You have to have a guy like Pauling, who is explosive in space, kind of some Aaron Cruikshank type of skills. And you need a guy like Burrows, who's longer, taller, athletic. You need guys like Chimray, who is just a polished receiver. Skylar Bell, who's pretty explosive. Keontes, who can get down and go. Tommy McIntosh, who's 6'5". Chris Brooks, who's built like a linebacker, right? You need different skill sets. So let's look at the receiving room. Who's ready for next year? Who's competing for playing time? Because I kind of broke it down into two tiers. Let me know if you think I'm off on one of these for sure, because I'd be interested in the discussion. I kind of broke it down into who's competing for playing time next year, and then who's kind of in the hopper. Like who's in the oven marinating for the next couple years, but probably isn't going to play in 23. All right, so next year I have ready to roll Keontes Lewis, Skylar Bell. I put Dean Ingram in here, but only because he hasn't officially moved. I think I'd be surprised for a myriad of reasons if he's in the receiver depth chart next year. Then obviously you have Chimray, and I think Paulding is in that mix. He played last year. He's been in a college system a couple years. And Tretch, I think Tretch plays next year. Again, going back to what I've said a couple times in this show already, I think he brings something unique. He has an explosiveness in his game that is very, very incredible to watch. And he's played at an incredibly high, for a high schooler, incredibly high level competition with elite programs. I think he's going to be ready to step in and play. And not as a starter, but as a guy who they're going to put out there when they go four receivers at some point. He's going to create a mismatch. He's going to get lined up on a safety, and he's going to cook them. I think that's going to happen. So right there, I have, again, Lewis, Bell, Ingram, DK, Paulding, and Tretch. That's six, right? That's not enough for Longo's system. So that's who I have that I think are going to play next year. And then you go down into the next group of five, right? You have Quincy Burrows, Vinny Anthony, Chris Brooks, Tommy McIntosh, and I'm throwing Cam Fain in here. If you don't remember Cam Fain, he was a walk-on in last year's class, but he was a really good walk-on. I thought he should have been a scholarship guy, 6'1", 180 pounds, 4-5 speed, really good hands. I had John Garcia Jr. actually on just to talk specifically about Cam Fain. He got lost in the recruiting shuffle a little bit because he switched schools. He had a weird academic transcripts thing. He's really good for a walk-on. I think he eventually could fight for playing time as well. So from that next group, again, who else is going to step up? It's Burrows, Anthony, Brooks, McIntosh. I think out of that group, you're most likely to see Vinny Anthony and Quincy Burrows. Burrows, because he's been in college for a year. He knows the system. He knows the coaching staff, at least, and he has that unique size and speed. And then Vinny Anthony, the freshman from last year, got in some spot minutes. I really liked his high school film. He's a big play dude. I think he's going to fight for time this year as well. Those two move up. That kind of gives you a solid eight-man receiving core. And I think it's good. Here's the other thing. We're still enamored with CJ Williams, which I get, right? He is Justin loves him. He is a big-time recruiting chip if you get him. I think the receiving group is good right now. I don't think it's great. I don't think it's obviously not elite, but I think it's good. And I don't think the system they've been in have done enough to highlight their skills or their talents. So I think if you went in next year, this receiving group is more than enough to win the Big Ten West and to get to a championship game. And then once you're there, you know, let the chips fall where they may. But I think there's growth in Skylar Bell still. I think there's growth in Keontes Lewis. Those are young receivers. I think there's growth in Vinny. I think there's Tretch is going to make a difference. I don't think we've seen the best of DK because of the system we've been in. So I don't think there's an A in this group, but I think there's a lot of Bs. And you can win with a lot of Bs if you have the quarterback and you have the complementary parts. So that's where I'll leave the receiver group. Obviously, we're still waiting on CJ Williams. Hopefully, I think we'll get something this week, one way or the other. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about something that Scott brought up, and I think was a brilliantly simple point. And another reason we have to go back and say thank you, Jim Leonard, for something specifically you did last year that it's allowing Luke Fickell to get a jump start. We're going to talk about that next on Locked On Badgers. But first, today's show is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs and information. It's something I go to. It's something Locked On uses. Again, do it responsibly, but a fun way to get some cheddar in the game, right? Live in-game betting, futures betting, stuff that you can get all the latest lines, lots of sports news here, and they have you covered with every single sport from, I've talked about it, anything you're into, really, from a sporting world, competitive world, esports, MMA, it's all on Bet Online. Plus, if you have a feel on a team, live in-game betting, futures betting, you know, I've talked about mine, I'm Niners Suns, I'm sure I'll end up betting on the Braves to win the World Series as well, that's my baseball team, so I might end up, I'm going to put some scratch on the Badgers to win the Big Ten too. I'm going to go check that out. So go to Bet Online, grab your mobile device, head to the website today. Learn more about the trends in action. Trends in action is Bet Online, where the game starts. I want to thank everyone again tuning in to Locked On Badgers, your team every day. When you're done here, go check out Locked On College Basketball. The hosts deliver incredible content every day, and it's the number one source to get all the latest news in college basketball. Everything that you can find on whatever podcast platform you use on YouTube, only Locked On. All right, let's keep it going, guys. I want to talk about really quick, by the way, if you like the show, hit the subscribe button. Come join our Discord. I'm planning out some stuff in my head for the Discord that is a little unique and specific to that. You also get the ability to shoot questions, by the way, when I have guests coming up. I post those in the Discord. So if you want to ask specific questions of certain guests I have coming up, you can throw those in the Discord. We do some giveaways in there. It's a good community. It's free as well. Come talk Badgers. Join the Discord. Really would love to have y'all. All right, let's keep going. I mentioned something that Scott, friend of the show, brought up, and I thought it was a really interesting point. And it's, we have to go back to this and thank Jim Leonard again. So the bowl prep, right? What I talked in the season last year, I talked about how important it is to get to the bowl game. And my rationale was I'm kind of just like a greedy fan. I want the bowl streak to continue. That just matters to me from like a bragging rights. But I also said this team, and this was before we knew Luke Fickell was coming on board, obviously. But I said this team needs those practices, right? This team needs those reps. The younger players need them. But with a new coach coming in, what that bowl prep did, it gave Luke Fickell the ability to really sit back and for 3 weeks really evaluate the roster in a practice setting, right? Think about how invaluable that is. If he didn't have that, like he would certainly be able to meet with players, certainly be able to go back and watch film. But there's a lot of players there's not film of. Right. There's not a lot of film of Tommy McIntosh, for example. There's not a lot of film of even some of the freshmen that played a little bit. There's not a lot of film of Vinny Anthony. Right. There's not a lot of film of Joe Bruner. So in certainly practices are filmed as well. He can go back and watch all of that. But to be able to work with them in a practice setting and see what they're like and evaluate each group and have his staff there, at least some of them. Right. It was incredibly invaluable. And you have to tip your cap to Jim Leonard because he got the Badgers to that point, right? He got the Badgers to the bowl game. And it's really a parting gift from him that allows Luke Fickell to get off on a really good start. Because what have we seen from Luke Fickell, right? What has he done? We get so in the moment. We talk about every single recruit, and it's really exciting. But zoom out a little bit, right? What have we done here? He brought in 6 defensive backs, okay? 7, actually, if you count Maitre. He brought in 5 quarterbacks, and then he's brought in a cavalcade of receivers, right? And I don't know if he's able to completely evaluate the roster as well if he doesn't have those 3 weeks of practices. Because I did a show earlier in the year, y'all, and it was, why can't we ever beat Ohio State? It was a frustrating show. Some Ohio State trolls picked up on it and had fun with it. But it boils down to, we're never good enough in the secondary, the quarterback, or the receiver room, right? That's what it boils down to. And that bears itself out in draft picks. It bears itself out in all conference predictions and awards. Because if you look at receiver, tight end, offensive line, defensive line, linebacker, Wisconsin's been good enough at those spots to beat Ohio State occasionally, right? They're never going to match up star for star, but they've been good enough at those spots certainly to match up. But it's been those other 3 spots, basically the passing game, right? And how to defend the passing game, cornerbacks, defensive backs, receivers, quarterbacks. And Fickell was really able to come in again with that bowl prep, those 3 weeks, really dive into the roster, work with everybody. And then what did we see them do? He went ham and addressed those three spots, right? Again, we're talking five quarterbacks that have either been brought in or signed in the future, right? I'm counting Cole LeCru in that as well, but that's incredible. It addresses a dramatic, incredible need. And it makes you wonder why Paul Chryst couldn't do that. You know, I don't want to get into it, but it's so remarkable to see a new coach come in. And some of this is Phil Longo, right? But what was stopping Paul Chryst from hiring Phil Longo, right? It's a very interesting thing when you start to think about, were the quarterbacks not coming here because we weren't recruiting them or because of the system Paul Chryst is running? As always, it's a mesh of the two. But it's incredible. They brought in five quarterbacks, and I got to think that some of the roster churn and some of the transfer portal activity has been, you know, pushed by his ability to evaluate the roster in that bowl prep period. You brought in, you know, already two transfer receivers with CJ Williams potentially on the table, and you re-engage with Tretch, right? You brought in six defensive backs when you start counting Amari Snowden and Braden Moore and Mike Trey. So, yeah, I find it very interesting that in a very quick time, we've seen through the recruiting lens where Luke Fickell and Phil Longo and Tressel think this roster needed the most work, and they very quickly addressed as best as they can those areas. Now, again, we'll have to see how those players come in and how they perform, if they've actually fixed them, but you got to like what they've done. And I don't know if they're quite as able to do that if they don't have the 3 weeks of bowl prep and the ability to practice with the team and see everybody in action. So once again, just a major tip of the cap to Jim Leonard for putting Wisconsin in this position, getting them to the bowl game, salvaging the season, and really setting up, in my opinion, Luke Fickell as best as he could to succeed going forward into 2023-2024. So as always, we love Jim Leonard. Still no word on where he's going to go, but definitely following with interest. All right, coming up, we are going to talk about, we talked a ton about transfer portals. I wanted to go back a little bit to the 23 recruiting class. Who are my five players that I think could play right away next year in some role? We're going to talk about that next on Locked On Badgers. But first, today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. I got to make sure I say Built Bar because I may have mispronounced it once. I called it Bill Bar, and somebody was trying to find Bill Bars. It's Built Bar. They're incredible. If you're looking for a delicious treat, but you don't want all the fat and calories, you got to try Built Bar. We've just gone through the holidays. We're all kind of coming off of that. I know I am. And my goal is to eat a little healthier, right? But I don't want to compromise taste. I want something that doesn't feel like health food while I'm eating it, but it's good for my body. Built Bar is that for me. A lot of protein, 100% chocolate, and they have incredible flavors. And again, real chocolate, churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almond. And I'm not sure how Built Bar does it. These bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing health and nutritional macros. And what's even better is they're healthy. Again, over 130 calories, 17 grams of protein. And now you don't have to wait to get in a box. You know, Built Bar has gone mainstream. They've gone global. You can go to Walmart. You can go to Sam's Club. Go to Walmart and pick up a four-bar box of cookies and cream, chocolate, double chocolate or coconut puffs. And if you're close to Sam's Club, go in, grab a 13-bar box with our hit flavors, brownie, batter, and churro. The churro is ridiculous. I love it. You're going to thank me later. Built Bar. All right, I want to thank everybody again for tuning into the show. Really do appreciate y'all as we continue to build this thing. Again, if you like it, go hit the subscribe button. Go join our Discord. I'll put that, actually throw that link back in here and when I post the show. Let's talk early impact 23 kids. So we've talked so much with good reason about the transfer portal, the players coming in, the excitement. And it kind of gets lost that we just signed a recruiting class. These kids are coming in as well. I wanted to talk about some of the impact players, early impact players that I think are coming in on this class. And I want to start with Braden Moore. So this was, I talked to John Garcia Jr., the Sports Illustrated recruiting director, Locked On's college recruiting insider. This was the guy he highlighted as the safest player in the class, the guy that is probably going to play right away. Braden Moore came over from Cincinnati, borderline four-star kid, big 6'2". He's already built. I think he probably has a role like Austin Brown did last year where he's getting in, mixed in occasionally, but definitely a special teams guy. He's going to play right away. I'd be surprised if he didn't see the field. I think at least on special teams, he's going to provide athleticism there. And I think he can mix into the defense. Now, the safety rotation is really deep. It's really, really deep. It's going to be difficult for anybody out of the newcomers to mix in there. But I think we may see, again, because he's a Cincinnati guy, he has familiarity with what they're hopefully trying to do. He has familiarity with the system, or with the coaching staff, I mean. I think he could play right away. So I'm excited to see that. Number two, Amari Snowden, another kid from the Cincinnati class that was brought over. Snowden's just unique, right? And that's the reason he could play. Unique things help on the college football field, right? You remember Isaiah Simmons for Clemson. And I'm not saying that Snowden is going to be that, but he was like a werewolf out there. You know, tall, long, could do anything. Snowden is 6'3", and there's a potential they're going to start him out at corner. So, again, probably not, certainly not a starter coming in, but maybe a guy, if another team has a big red zone threat, you can use Snowden situationally where he can match up on some of the bigger bodies. Maybe a tight end that is athletic running down the seam, Snowden could get in on. Again, if he can play that boundary corner position at 6'3", he's going to probably get on the field at some point because it's just such a unique athletic profile. Again, John Garcia called him the freakiest of the freaks. A player that had a lot of schools coming after him after he decommitted from Cincinnati. So I think both those defensive backs from Cincinnati, Braden Moore, Amari Snowden, you could see them on the field this year. It wouldn't surprise me at all. In fact, it would surprise me if you didn't. Number three, Nate White. Now, this one's kind of a shot in the dark. The running back out of Wisconsin, the only in-state Wisconsin kid we took this year, which is still just amazing to me that there was only one. But this is largely driven by how, in my opinion, how shallow that running back room is behind the starters, both of which have had injury problems, right? If we have another season where Braylon or Chez gets hurt, who are you going to turn to in that running back room? You still have Julius Davis, Jackson Aker. They did move Cade Iacomelli over from safety to running back, the athlete out of Pennsylvania from last year's class. I love him. The Yak Attack. I love Cade. He is a monster athlete. He has a 40-plus inch vertical. About 6 foot, 190 pounds, probably a 4'5" kid, but a 4'5" kid that excels in explosiveness, runs through tackles, physical, just a football player. I think he could play as well. But again, there's not a lot of depth there. And Nate White brings something different. We talked about Snowden bringing something different. We talked about Quincy bringing something different in the first segment. Nate White brings kind of an elusiveness in the open field that is different. And if you remember what Phil Longo said, this is what keyed me into Nate White. Phil said, we're going to put athletes in space and just let them run, right? And that's what Nate White can do. He is explosive and unique in space. He can make people miss. Now, he's not real big. He hasn't played great competition. There's hurdles in the way of him playing right away. But I think that running back depth chart and what Phil Longo wants to do with athletes, it maybe portends to Nate White being able to get on the field a little bit earlier than maybe he normally would. All right, number four, Tretch Kekahuna. Let's go. I love Tretch. Justin loves Tretch. We all love Tretch. And listen, this is a player who was at Bishop Gorman playing at the highest level of high school football and dominating, playing against the highest level of high school football competition at times and dominating. He put up monster numbers. He was putting up monster numbers when he was in St. Louis High School in Hawaii, which is also a powerhouse. He's used to being around really good players. He's physically developed. This is not a player coming in that needs to be physically developed much more. He kind of is who he is from a body build standpoint, and the athletic measurables again are unique. He's quick as a cat in space. I think you're going to get him in some spots where you can isolate him on a third corner, maybe a safety coming down to try to cover him. It's just going to be a mismatch. So I think he's going to play. I think he's going to play regularly. I think Phil Longo is going to use him. I think there's a reason they went out, re-engaged, and tried to bring him back into this class and ultimately succeeded. I think he's one of the bigger gets in the 23 recruiting class. Big-time talent and a player that really we saw that offer list kind of explode towards the end of the recruiting cycle. So I'm excited to see Tretch. I think he's going to play this year. And finally, I got Tucker Ashcraft, the big tight end out of Washington. And again, some of this is depth chart driven, and some of it is much like Tretch and much like Braden Moore. Tucker Ashcraft is a physically developed dude, 6'5", 235 already. He looks it on film, really good blocker on film. Again, going from high school blocking to the Big Ten, huge, huge jump. But physically, he's not a 220-pound tight end coming in. He's not somebody that needs to add 20 or 30 pounds of muscle. He's going to be able to hold up physically okay. He also catches the ball well. He's more athletic than people realize. He was clocked at over 20 miles per hour in one of his films. So I think, again, given a tight end room that's been ravaged by injury, that really hasn't had anybody be able to step up and take the reins from, Jake Ferguson and be that every down guy because of injuries, because of inconsistency. I could see Tucker stepping in and being like maybe a third tight end who gets in maybe goal line situations, maybe gets in if one of the top guys gets hurt. I could see that happening this year because I think he's physically developed. And I really thought the film was better than people were thinking. Like he's a really interesting prospect to me. So those are my five I think are going to play this year or potentially play this year. Braden Moore, Snowden, Nate White because of depth chart, Tretch because he's a monster, and Tucker Ashcraft. So let me know what you think. Who do you think might play this year from the 23 class? We're going to wrap it up there. Really do appreciate y'all tuning in to Locked On Badgers, making this one of your first listens every day on Wisconsin, and we're going to keep it going.